The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, and today's date is July 10th, 2023. Well, we missed him last week. He was busy. He's called up on doing a speaking engagement in Switzerland, but we got him back today. Mr. Harley Schlanger from Germany, live with us tonight. And Harley, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear
good,
me?
Good, good. Well, I don't know. Are you able to speak on what you spoke about in Switzerland? Are you able to talk about that?
Sure. Actually, there were two meetings. The Swiss group is some people who are trying to put together some legislation in the parliament there to restore banking separation so that you wouldn't have the kind of crisis that came up around the Credit Suisse case. You know, the problem in Switzerland now is you have one large bank, and that large bank is largely underwritten by the national bank. So you have Union Bank of Switzerland, which owns Credit Suisse, which is a debt-ridden catastrophe and doesn't have enough in real assets to enable it to borrow money. So it had to be taken over. But Credit Suisse, or rather UBS, didn't have enough liquidity of its own, so it had to get almost $20 billion from the Swiss Central Bank. So what they're trying to do, people I know, is to make sure that this kind of bailout doesn't happen again by not allowing banks to get this big. The bank essentially is bigger than the government, and the government is therefore forced to use tax dollars to subsidize the bank. And so we had a very intense discussion. They've had two bills before the parliament that had enough support to win, but both times the government stepped in and undermined the discussion and sabotaged the legislation. So they're trying to figure out if there's another way to do it, and that's, I was brought in on that discussion, which was very interesting because you get a sense of how these large banks function, mostly in the dark. They have a few people who are in the know of what's going on, and when they get in trouble, they go straight to the national bank, and the national bank, if necessary in Switzerland, could get money from the European Central Bank.
Right.
So it's a group of central bankers who are controlling the world financial system, driving it down the drain, and yet no one's standing up against them.
Interesting. Very interesting. So overall, you think it was a pretty successful trip to Switzerland. Are they listening to you, Harley? Are they listening to you?
Well, yeah. I mean, they did invite me, and there was a lot of back and forth, and people were asking, why didn't the United States go back with Glass-Steagall? Glass-Steagall the legislation that separates commercial banking from investment banking. Right. So they said, why didn't the U.S. go back for it? And I said, because the U.S. is dominated by a few large banks.
Right.
And they're the ones who control the New York Fed, and the New York Fed controls the National Federal Reserve.
Right.
And so basically Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, these are the private banks that determine U.S. monetary policy. Right. And so, of course, the same thing goes on in Europe. It's not different. But in Europe, they have this illusion that the European Union has some oversight over this. Well, the European Union is a bunch of morons who right. essentially take their initiatives or their ideas from the Bank of England. And right. the Bank of England is the most corrupt institution in the world.
Yeah.
So right. everyone's asking the question, well, how do you fight them? And I just said, you've got to go to the people. We've got to get the people to throw this yoke off their neck. And if they don't do it, they're not going to have anything left.
Harley, how vulnerable is the world economics if the United States goes belly up with an economic collapse? How vulnerable is the rest of the world?
Well, you know what they say, if the United States catches a cold, the rest of the world gets pneumonia.
Okay.
I think the better way to look at it mm-hmm. is what could save the United States right now? Because the United States is operating on two levels. On one level, it's the belief that the U.S. is the world's great superpower mm-hmm. and has the power to dictate terms to everyone else.
Right.
But the people who are doing that don't know what the hell they're doing. You know, look at the fight against inflation. Look what they've done with that. They've driven up the costs more.
Yeah.
Look at the debate going on. Is the economy heating up too fast? Should we keep the interest rates high? Should we lower the interest rates? Well, no, you've got to have a policy which determines where we're going to invest money in the future.
Right.
It's not a question of interest rates. It's a question of investment. It's a yeah. question of credit. And if you turn the credit mechanisms of a nation into essentially providing liquidity to cover bad debts, mm-hmm. you're just not just kicking the can down the road, you're kicking the country into the graveyard.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's the problem, that the level of discussion of economics is on a level of imbecility compared to what existed at the end of World War II. When they were trying to figure out how to rebuild the world economy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at the difference between the Marshall Plan, the Eisenhower Interstate Highway Plan, mm-hmm. Kennedy's Investment Tax Credit Plan. These were serious proposals, and there were debates over them, but they were serious.
Yeah.
Now everyone is so focused on the national debt and how to cut it, without realizing you can't cut it without producing more. You have to create
exactly.
more value in the society to be able to cover debt.
Yeah.
You can't cut your way to prosperity. And that's the problem we have, and it's the same problem in Europe.
You know, Harley, I think that the United States, I think this government here, Biden administration, is looking at this Green New Deal, which we know is fraud built in. I mean, it may enrich several corporations, the Green Deal. But I believe they're putting all their eggs in one basket on this Green New Deal to be the stimulus of our economy. And it's not going to work because, first of all, it's got fraud all over it. There's nothing green about the Green Deal. And it will enrich several corporations, but the bottom line is it's going to put a drag on our economy. And we are going to go under, no doubt about it. We're going to have an economic collapse, which brings me to an article I just saw the other day. I think it was on freedomsphoenix.com. It talked about the Federal Reserve taking over the central bank digital currency and laying down the infrastructure, Harley. By the end of July, they will have the infrastructure set up already. So I can only assume with setting up the infrastructure for this central bank digital currency that we are going to experience the economic collapse here in the United States because they're putting in the infrastructure now. What's your take on that?
Well, there are two things. First of all, they originally had set a date of July 1st, which they realized they couldn't do.
Right.
But there are several different kinds of so-called digital currencies. The thing that most people are afraid of is where you have to give up your cash, where your bank account is turned into a digital operation where you have very little control over it. And that's something they're just not going to do right now. People are scared that's going to happen, but that would be too great a shock to the system as a whole. And they're pulling back from doing that. What they're actually talking about is two different things. One is the central banks functioning as a kind of world government, and in which case no local parliament or Congress will have a right to make spending policy. That will be turned over to technocrats who work for the central banks, and they'll control credit through that. That wouldn't be such a huge shift from what we already have, because the Congress doesn't do anything anyway. But the idea that they're going to take away all the money and move everything into digital currencies that you're going to have no say in or no control over, they're very well aware that this would lead to a total explosion in the United States. So they're not moving that quickly in that direction. They're trying to come up with a new exchange mechanism for international trade. The problem is that the Federal Reserve is largely a group of technocrats who can't organize a two-car funeral procession. And we see that with this discussion. Do we need the rates higher or lower? And as I was saying earlier, that's not the problem. The question is, can you inject credit into the economy to start producing real value? And they have no conception of that. They've given up on the idea. Now, just one thing on the Green New Deal. That's only one part of the policy. And the Green New Deal is essentially more deindustrialization. The other part of it is the stimulus part is the military expenditures. You know, that's almost $1 trillion this year. That's the official budget outlay, $889 billion. When you add in the nuclear component that exists outside of that, then the intelligence, the black bag jobs and things of that sort, it's over $1 trillion. And they think that that will stimulate things. Well, that will make a bunch of people on the inside the Beltway in Washington very, very wealthy. But it's not going to stimulate the economy. And so they don't have a plan. And therefore, they're trying to keep us focused on a war and allow the war to be the organizing principle that enables them to put more and more money into military expenditures.
Yeah. Wars tend to get you out of economic hardship if you get into one. It looks like they actually are trying very, very hard. I think we were lied to many times. We kind of saw this coming. You know, every time the government opens their mouth, they speak a whopper lie here. And it took a little airman from an air base there to report basically like the Pentagon paper and come back and tell us, yes, the United States has boots on the ground, Harley, and they're very much active involved in this war in Ukraine against
Russia. Russia. Very few people know that. You know, the fact that you had this leak, which should have been an enormous explosion of anger. If this were in the 70s, like when the Pentagon Papers came out, you had millions of people in the street.
Right.
Now people read about it and shrug their shoulders and go on with their day-to-day activity. And I think most Americans are unaware of, number one, how close we are to a possible nuclear war. Because of the idiocy of the military-industrial complex. And secondly, how close we are to a financial blowout.
Yeah.
Most people aren't aware of that. They're struggling. They don't trust the government. But in the United States, most people are still complacent. Whereas you saw what just happened in France, where you had an explosion, the third explosion in 3 years. You had the yellow vests, then you had the pension reform demonstrations, and now you had young people in the streets, and what were they protesting? They're protesting there's no future. And it wasn't just young people from Algeria and the Middle East. It was a lot of Frenchmen, because they realized that the government doesn't listen to them. The government doesn't care about their problems. You know, Macron does whatever he's told by the banks. He didn't even allow the parliament to vote on the pension reform bill.
Yeah.
So people are more ready to explode in Europe. The Dutch government just fell last week. because of their attempt to destroy the farm sector. And the farmers have been marching and having tractorcades all over Belgium and Holland and Luxembourg. And as a result, people went out and voted the government out. So there are things happening in Europe, but it's on a whole bunch of different issues instead of focusing on the main one, which is the incompetence of a central bank system where the largest private banks get to determine the policy, the fiscal policy of every country on the planet.
Well, we see what's going on in France right now. And I was wondering about that. That was one of the questions I want to ask you, the boil over point, what's happening here. Of course, a 17-year-old being shot, I thought that's that can't be the total reason why this is happening. I think there's a boil over period right now, what's going on. Do you think this is actually going to migrate over to Germany by chance, Harley?
Well, we're seeing the signs in Germany of growing unhappiness. The German government came out today and for the first time in a long time was opposed to the U.S. government policy of bringing these cluster bombs into Ukraine. It may seem like a minor point, but Scholz has been totally agreeable with everything Biden's doing to the point that you realize that he's under either blackmail control or just terrified, because the U.S. blew up the gas supply to Germany, the Nord Stream pipeline.
Yeah, right.
But let me go back to France for a second, because there are two elements to this. One is it is a powder keg. You have a large number of people who don't have jobs, who don't have much of a future, don't have access to education. And many of them are immigrants from North Africa, from Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, some from Syria, some from Iraq and Turkey. But essentially, the kind of thing that happened with the Floyd case in the United States, it was the oil, the gasoline had already been poured. They just needed a match.
Right.
But then it's controlled from the top, because then what happens? The police go in and start beating the hell out of people. Yeah. And then that increases the anger and the size of the demonstrations. But it also increases the demand for more top-down control, more surveillance, more police, more militarization of the society. And so my associates in France say that they think that Macron was willing to let this thing blow up to give him more power to crush the opposition to what his government's doing. Right. But at the same time, he's resisting NATO and the European Union on some of their policies, so he may be getting set up to take the fall. Yeah. So it's a very complex situation, but at its root, it's the fact that we've had a wrong economic policy since 1971 for the whole transatlantic world.
Yeah, agreed. I was about to ask that question about how much of this revolt in France is due to the energy crunch caused by the sabotage. Whether the Ukrainians did it or the United States actually sabotaged and blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, how much of this factored into what's going on here? You know, here in the United States, Harley, I got to say, and this frustrates me to say this, but I think Americans here in this country are just too damn comfortable. And I'm not sure what's going to be the final straw that breaks the camel's back here for them to get out and protest these things. We're seeing food shortages. The economy is not doing well. Unemployment's rising. We're getting ourselves into another war using Ukraine, a proxy war against Russia. And then we're going to poke the bear again in China. Everything seems to be going really, really bad. And I'm still wondering. I go back to the years of the 60s and the early 70s when we saw the protests. People really were uncomfortable. They got out there on the college campuses and protested their government doing wrong. And here I can't get anybody to show up for a demonstration.
It's interesting. The people who demonstrated in the 60s were not poor people. I mean, students, most of them had parents with some money. I think there's more destitution in the United States now than there was then. When you look at the actual demographics, you have 1% that controls over 60% of the wealth of society. And you have a declining middle class today. I think it's not just economics. I think it's an effect of drugs and culture and just demoralization, the search for entertainment. You know, we've lost the moral spark that we used to have. It used to be that when things were unjust, people would react to it. Now they shrug their shoulders and say, what do you expect? As long as I'm not hurt, I'm going to just keep my eyes straight ahead and not get into it. And I think that kind of complacency and passivity is the mark of a dying nation.
It is. I agree. So with harder times and economic collapse, you think that'll change? Or Americans are still said, you know what? It is what it is. Nothing I can do. Have they given up? Have they given up?
Well, I don't think people have given up. Part of it is there's no sense of leadership, but the other part is the brainwashing from the media. Mm-hmm. You know, they're basically told there's nothing you can do about it. The people with money control everything, and you know, if you want to control something, control your own neighborhood, control your own kids. Most people don't even think they can control their own kids. They have no say in what's going on in the schools. Yeah. You know, if you look at this whole transgender thing, parents don't, the parents who are now finding out what's going on with their children at young ages mm-hmm. are freaked out. But how did they not know this? Because much of this is being done on a covert basis so that people are ignorant as to what's actually being done to destroy their lives.
Biden was on TV the other day and did something really stupid. He was pretty much telling the world of how much we've lost in our arsenal, our military arsenal, how much we're depleted in everything we have. And now all we have pretty much to send out is cluster munitions, which, by the way, are not defensive weapons. These are strictly, they should be outlawed. I thought they were internationally.
They are outlawed. There was an international convention on cluster munitions in 2008, which was signed by over 120 nations. 21 of the 27 European Union states signed it, and 18 of the 26 NATO members signed it. So they all said, or the ones that signed it said, no, you never under any circumstances must these cluster munitions be used. That's in the law. Now, the U.S. didn't sign it. The Russians didn't sign it. But the United States supposedly stopped using them, but we didn't really. We used them in Laos and Cambodia in the late 60s and 70s. We used them in Serbia in the 1990s, and we used them in Iraq.
Yeah.
And look, it's so incredible. These things, the way it works is that the ones that don't explode on impact lie around and may go off at any time. A child may think it's a toy and pick it up and lose an arm or a leg.
Yeah. Well, when I see these commercials on TV with the wounded warrior and they're showing me these vets, returning vets that have blown off extremities, how they stepped on something here, you know, an IED or something, and essentially the same thing, a cluster munition is an IED that's above ground, you know. And then I see these vets returning back with blown off extremities here. And, I got to say that hardly that with the United States still having a stockpile is, again, illegal. And sending them now to Ukraine is now placing Joe Biden, to me, in my eyes, as a war criminal now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And this is, you know, you can say what you want about him, you know, that he's not mentally competent, that he's not the author of these policies, which is true, but it's people like Blinken and Sullivan and Victoria Nuland and Avril Haines. These are the people who explicitly have been involved in huge contracts in the private sector with military companies. Blinken, when he left the Obama White House after Obama's term, he set up something called West Executive Partners, which was a consulting firm for the defense sector. And one of his partners in that was Avril Haines, who is now the Director of National Intelligence. You look at Lloyd Austin, the defense secretary, the retired general. He was serving on the board of Raytheon. a part of this is just plain corruption and immorality. But people like Blinken are deluded. They think that we still have the power to dictate the policy to other countries. And I'll tell you something, if you didn't see it, it was really quite interesting. Macron set up a meeting with African countries and a few other countries to push his proposal for a $1 trillion tax to provide money for the green transition. Wow. And most of the he was trying to get the African countries to go along with it. Mm-hmm. And one after another, they denounced it. They said, you're going to tax us to wreck our economies? You're not listening to us. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, the president of South Africa said, look, you're talking about $1 trillion for these green policies that won't work. For $60 billion, we could build a dam that would provide electricity for 600 million Africans who now have no access to electricity. Why don't you do that? If you do that, maybe we'll believe you for a change. And Macron was sitting there just looking horrified, like the plantation was a slave revolt against him. Now, at the same time, the president of Kenya said, why should we have to buy dollars to buy goods from a neighboring country? Why can't we use our own currencies? So we're beginning to see something in the Southern Hemisphere of governments losing their fear of the International Monetary Fund and losing their fear of the U.S. military and the French military. The French got kicked out of Mali, their military. So we're seeing a change. Now, why can't the American people do that? Why can't we stand up and say, we're not going to listen to the Federal Reserve anymore? We want a national bank which is controlled by our elected officials for the purposes of providing credit to entrepreneurs and inventors and producers. And that's the way you change things. But as we were talking before, the American people have lost that spark and that enthusiasm, and they seem to be just happy enough to get by to the weekend where they can get drunk and watch sports.
You know, I look at the United States as being the superpower in the world. At least that's what they used to be, and they're not now. I think they've been declawed, and I think the world has recognized the United States as, first of all, economically, they don't have the structure in place to continue on. They're in deeply in debt. They keep printing money to get themselves out of money problems here. It's just a problem that escalates and escalates. Again, like you said, printing money to get yourself out of debt is crazy. Philosophy that they're using here, but I think the world is finally realizing the United States is not the superpower that they used to be, and I'm looking now to seeing that the United States has to reestablish themselves as a superpower. How are they going to do this? And well, first of all, they're going to take on Russia and defeat Russia, which is not going to happen, by the way. It's not going to happen. They're not going to be successful going through Ukraine to take down Putin or splinter Russia, and then later on think of splintering up China. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen at all. What they've done, the United States has done, is actually forced China and Russia to become together, and probably even North Korea, maybe even Iran will come into the mix also. So they're making these countries
beyond
stronger.
That, Steve, yeah. Beyond that, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, Indonesia, Thailand, all these countries are backing, they're at least neutral, or they're moving towards support of Russia and China. And that's why the U.S. is desperate. I mean, the cluster bombs is a sign of desperation.
Yes,
they have to do something to make it look like Ukraine can win the war. Yeah. Biden's chances for 2024 depend on delivering on the Ukraine war policy. It's not going to happen. And I think what we're actually seeing is they're greasing the skids to get rid of Biden.
Yeah.
But it's the old Nixon-Agnew problem. You remember what happened in 1972?
I do. I hear our bumper music coming on here, Harley, so stay tuned. Just a three-minute break here. We'll come back with Harley Schlenger live from Germany. We got a lot more to talk about. This is really interesting stuff. Harley, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Harley Schlanger from Germany here. Harley, I got to throw some questions at you here. Is there anybody addressing in Congress this illegal action of sending cluster munitions to Ukraine? Is anybody addressing this at all? I have not seen anybody address this. It's illegal, international law. And I agree, like I said, many countries have signed on to this illegal action of using cluster munitions. And I've heard from no one stopping this.
Actually, there are a couple of Democrats who raise the questions. Barbara Lee is one of them, a congresswoman from Oakland. I can't remember the name of the other one, but there are a couple of Democrats who spoke against it. And Tom Massey, who's a real independent Republican from Kentucky, he also spoke out. But look, the Congress is controlled by the military-industrial complex and the bankers. And they're not going to raise a fuss over these things.
Yeah. Well, I agree. This is an act of desperation if you're using cluster munitions. This is definitely an act of desperation. Going in a very, very bad way here. I don't know. I thought these were all gone. I knew we had treaties and we decided to get rid of these munitions. And other countries, as far as I know, they destroyed their stockhold of these munitions. But then again, we tell everybody, you must, but then we keep our own. This is amazing that this actually finally came out. Another piece to the puzzle of all the lies they keep stacking up with this administration here. Another one.
2 years ago, when Jen Psaki was still the spokesman for Biden,
right,
she was asked about whether the U.S. would use cluster bombs, and she said the use of cluster bombs is a war crime.
Wow!
So Biden's former spokesman acknowledged that, right. And it's not a secret that this is a war crime.
Right.
Now the question always is. Is there someone powerful enough to prosecute someone for war crimes? And this is where you see the arrogance of the national security team around Biden. They think they can get away with this.
Yeah.
You want to talk about arrogance. They think they can reelect Biden when he can't walk across a stage.
Re-electing with a bad economy too, which definitely would point out that this was a stolen election. The economy looks bad, everything looks bad, and a guy gets voted back in doesn't make sense. It's not going to, it's not convincing at all.
Look what they're doing. With all the talk in Russiagate of interference in the election process, right. Who's interfering in the election process? It's the U.S. intelligence community, the FBI, the CIA. In league with the big tech companies, in league with the media. They're doing everything possible to prevent an election. Now, Biden's not even going to participate in some of the Democratic primaries. They're not going to be Democratic debates. They're doing everything they can to smear Robert F. Kennedy Jr. To keep him out. And look, I think just on this, the one point I think is important. Bobby Kennedy Jr. is raising one of the crucial issues of our time, which is the question of who killed John F. Kennedy.
Right.
And by bringing that up, he's showing great personal courage. It forced Donald Trump to come out 2 days ago and say, well, if he's elected, he will definitely release the Kennedy files. Now, he said that before, and he got scared off of doing it. But I think it's really important. The nephew of John Kennedy and the son of Robert F. Kennedy is saying that this is a crucial issue to be resolved if we're going to get out of these wars and out of the control by these private corporate cartels. We have to have transparency, and I'm hoping that this will mobilize the Americans to open their eyes and take a look at what we've tolerated. Steve, do you know anybody who thinks that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone assassin?
No. Patsy.
Yeah, nobody believes that. So why do we let that be in the history books?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you there. That's I thought about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., what he stands for, and I've actually had some texts back and forth with him and emails. And he's their best candidate. He really is the best candidate. He's a Democrat, but he's their best candidate. And of course, they don't like this guy because, well, first of all, he'd want to open up that box and look into the intelligence taking out John F. Kennedy and Bobby. And we definitely know this was an intelligence inside deal here. And of course, Lyndon B. Johnson capitalized. You have to look who benefits from the situation here. So he'd open up that investigation to that. And then, of course, he's not he's against the pharmaceuticals. Talk about autism shots, the COVID shots. He's gone after them. So there's many different things that they just don't like Kennedy. They don't want this guy in. But he's their best shot as far as the numbers.
Also gone after the way the corporate cartels control the political process.
Yes.
And bringing up the pharmaceutical industry, but also in a number of other areas, including the military. He's an opponent of the Ukraine war. He said the U.S.-NATO policy provoked Putin's action.
Yes, it did.
For 11 years, Putin was trying to work something out, and the Western intelligence refused to talk to him. So he's an interesting case. Now, what would be very interesting is if we ended up with campaign of Bobby Kennedy Jr. against Donald Trump. Because then we might have, for the first time in a long time, an election where real issues were discussed.
You know, there's two things I've been thinking about here. Harley, I'll throw out a match yet, and you tell me what you think. But I don't believe they really want to. They know they can't win with Joe Biden on his record. Track record's terrible. I think they're looking for a way to, well, cancel or delay the 2024 election here, either through a false flag or getting us in some conflict with Russia, or possibly a new virus release that will shut down the economy again. It'll actually push us to that, what the Federal Reserve wants, that central bank digital currency. But to shut everything down again, try this all over again, and maybe do a, instead of 2,000 mules, 3,000 mules, we'll have 4,000 mules, and to steal this next election through either the ballots or Dominion or Smartmatic, or simply get involved in a war that you can't change the commander-in-chief in the time of war. I see these are possibilities that may happen to cancel the 2024 election. What do you think?
I think the Democrats are, by Democrats, I mean the DNC, the corporate Democrats, are in a tough position because they have concluded, I mean, 66% of the people say they think Biden is too old, and that includes a lot of Democrats. So there's not exactly a wellspring of love and support for the guy. Right. Now, the problem they have is who's on the bench, who's behind him. There's no way you could tolerate having Kamala Harris replace Biden and think that she could win an election in 2024. So I think, and I'll just throw this out, this is a wild theory, but I've heard it from a few people, that eventually they're going to stick this cocaine found in the White House on Harris and and figure out a way to move her out and maybe bring in Gavin Newsom to replace her. Now, this may sound far-fetched. And then, of course, then you can remove Biden and you'd have Newsom as the president.
Yeah.
Remember what happened in 1972 after Nixon won, that they had gotten rid of Spiro Agnew, the vice president, because they knew they were going to get rid of Nixon. But they got rid of Agnew first, initially put in Nelson Rockefeller. And then when it was clear that wouldn't work, they switched over to Gerry Ford and then ran Nixon out. But I think that there are some people seriously thinking about some kind of scenario like that. Otherwise, they're left with this idea that the American people will accept Joe Biden for a second term.
Yeah.
And the only way that would work is if you destroy the Republican Party.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think Nikki Haley and DeSantis and others are well underway in doing that.
Right.
By trying to take advantage of the legal problems of Trump. And the reality is that DeSantis and Haley are very, very much like the people that Trump destroyed in 2016, like the Jeb Bush crowd and the Rhino Republicans.
You know, last night I posed a question in, you know, we know that the FBI has been blocking covering for the Biden crime family here. All the criminality, this $10 million that came to Joe Biden and family through 20 LLCs. And all this illegal money and this, you know, buying the, you know, the influence peddling is what it is. And everything seems to kind of be packing, you know, stacking on to Biden's right now between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And then, you know, Burisma Holdings, all this money coming in. Of course, he has nothing to sell. So, you know, there's something illegal going here, a little bit of money laundering. All this stuff is kind of piling on him. Now we have the cocaine gate here. And I thought that's an interesting theory about, you know, bringing down Kamala Harris by blaming her for this. But I think about the FBI, again, like I said, covering and blocking for the Bidens from day one. I mean, nothing seems to stick these people. But then why did the Secret Service release all this information about the cocaine found? It's interesting. Either it's a diversion story to take us away from the Biden into something else. But then again, it still implicates the Bidens because the Bidens are in the White House. I'm kind of confused that the Secret Service, there's some good guys there, I guess, or is this, are we being played here, a psychological operation in some way because they're just trying to bring our attention to something else? What do you think?
Well, just the way you pose that shows the problem that most people have. These are very complex matters. And there's another point here. as you get worked up about the corruption of Hunter Biden, you're taking your eyes off the fact that we might be heading toward a nuclear war with Russia. And I think the bigger picture of the problem with Biden is that, and the Burisma case is part of this, he was the point person for Obama on Ukraine. He was working with Nuland and with George Soros to pull off the coup in 2014 to put Poroshenko in as president, and then later Zelensky. So the fact that Biden got some payoffs from this is not such a big deal. The big deal is that as vice president of the United States, he and Obama worked to carry out a coup in a very volatile country that is on the border of Russia and that could lead to a U.S.-Russian nuclear war. Yeah. So I personally think that if I were Joe Biden, I'd rather have people focused on Hunter and all of his escapades than the danger of nuclear war.
Yeah.
Similarly, the whole debt ceiling issue, everyone got really worked up on that. And they missed the bigger point, which is there's a huge difference between liquidity and solvency. You can create liquidity by unleashing the printing presses at the Federal Reserve, which, as we were talking about earlier, can give you money to cover over debt in the short term. But all it does is increase the debt in the long term. And while people are focused on should we have a balanced budget, should we cut spending, they're missing the fact that our whole economic direction is a misdirection. Yeah. It's an orientation toward post-industrial rubbish heap, which can't sustain the level of population at a decent standard of living. Mm-hmm. Cuts in the whole medical system, cuts in infrastructure. You know, the United States has more bridges collapsing and more train derailments than anywhere else in the world.
That's true.
And so
Do these people, Harley, understand these people pushing the Green New Deal, which is fraud? You know that, and I know it. Do these people understand that a nuclear war with Russia pretty much puts an end to any kind of green environmental deal? Do they understand that?
Well, obviously not, because they're ideologues. The people who – look, we have a foreign minister here in Germany named Annalena Baerbock. Mm-hmm. She has no qualifications whatsoever. Her career was based on the fact that she was a very well-known trampoline expert. She was on a German gymnastic trampoline team. Then she was laundered through British intelligence. She was brought into the government with no experience. She doesn't know anything about foreign policy. And who's her biggest backer in the world? Anthony Blinken. He's the one who wrote the puff piece on her for Time magazine, declaring her one of the 100 most important young leaders in the world. Now, she and her sidekick, Habeck, are trying to push Germany to switch completely to electric cars before the end of the 2020s, to get rid of all gas-burning appliances and replace it all with these very expensive electric heat pumps, which would cost every homeowner, I think the estimate is something like 30,000 to 50,000 euros. That's about $30,000 to $50,000. People can barely pay their rent, can barely pay their mortgages now. So these are people who are living in a fantasy world. Yeah. Now, at the same time, the belief that carbon dioxide is causing global warming is scientifically a fraud.
Agreed.
So we're being put through the ringer with what is their intention? The real intent is that they are hardcore Malthusians, which means they believe there are too many people and that we need depopulation on the planet.
Yes.
And meanwhile, the people who are the leading Greens in Germany, they have big houses, they have fancy cars, they fly where they want to. They're very wealthy. And the same thing with Sunak. Here's a guy who's a billionaire, who's the prime minister of Britain, who says that, well, people just have to tough it out with the mortgage problem. Well, 250,000 people in the United Kingdom are about to lose their homes because of the higher interest rates, because of the high inflation. And Sunak is not one of those people, obviously. So people see these leaders as out of touch with them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I think triggered the French reaction. I think that's going to eventually trigger something in the United States. And the problem is that an anarchistic uprising just plays into their hands. That's why we need people to seriously think about what it means to take power away from these private corporate interests.
Well, I saw that Macron had brought out, 145,000 police officers for this riot?
Yeah.
Jeez, I didn't realize they had that many. But at what point do those 145,000 police officers realize that the government that they're supporting is a bad government? And I can only assume that a harsh winter coming to Europe is going to escalate this problem even more so. We're going to see more protest, more rioting because of the energy crunch. What's your take on that? Actually, we got a commercial break. Harley, we'll come right back and answer that question.
Okay.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Extendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Extendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Extendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
And we are back with Harley Schlanger. My question before going to the break here, Harley, Europe will experience a very harsh winter. If they have a harsh winter, will this escalate the rioting because they're very uncomfortable? Will this pretty much be the trigger?
Well, I think we're starting to see some cracks in the solid support for the Biden-NATO war. It was for a while just Hungary, but as I said, the Dutch government fell, and what brought them down? Their attempt to sell off farmland, to shut down farms, part of the Green Deal. We're seeing cracks, and the German coalition government, the three parties that make it up, have less than 40% support for the three of them. And in a parliamentary system, you have to have 50% to form a government. So if they had to form a government now, they couldn't do it. So I think we're going to see some of the Europeans starting to drift away, starting to move away. Now, what would win them over, away from the war? Economic deals with China, economic deals with Russia, trade deals with the developing sector. I think there are a lot of factors here that most people are completely unaware of. The most important breaking point would be if people in the United States recognize that Russia and China aren't our enemy. It's our own deep state. It's our own security state, which is the enemy of the American people. And if that awareness becomes widespread, then the whole world could shift, because if the United States would stop being like the British Empire, stop trying to impose the so-called unipolar order, and recognize that we actually can build up our own economy in cooperation with other nations instead of having to loot them.
I agree.
And if people would get that.
Real quick question here. I want to see if I can get you this question before we get to the top of the hour. And if I don't get it completely in, if you could stay for a minute or two, I'd appreciate the top of the hour. Your view on Putin, what is he going to do to finally nip this in the bud? He's kind of done, watched as far as his kill ratio here of not wanting to harm the Russian people in his conquest of getting into Ukraine. He doesn't want to disturb the infrastructure. He was thinking that the United States might back off at some point in time, which they're not. What do you see in the future? What's going to happen with Putin? What's he going to do to finally nip this in the bud and put this to an end?
Well, Putin is waiting for the rest of the world to break from the NATO policy. He may have to wait longer than that. But at the same time, the Russians are actually winning the war. The Ukrainians are not winning. They are being destroyed as a military. And remember, Putin's goal was not to conquer Ukraine. It was to demilitarize Ukraine and make Ukraine accept a neutral status.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things being discussed at the NATO summit.
Right,
there are
right.
more peace feelers out there than are being reported. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, for the listeners, I cover these kinds of issues every single day in a 10 to 12 minute video update, which you can get by going to thelarouscheorganization.com. And tomorrow I'll be talking about the food question.
Harley Schlanger, thank you very much for being my guest tonight. I look forward to you next month. Again, go to his website, and a lot of stuff to learn there. Great talking to you, Harley. See you next month. Appreciate
it. Second
hour.
Good talking to you.
Second hour coming up. National.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com.
or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.